After listening to their story, I asked Joanne, "It looks as though one of his basic understandings upon entering into the marriage contract with you was that you would jog with him. Would it be that hard for you to go jogging now and then?" "I jogged with him before," Joanne explained, "in order to be near him. But I never thought that jogging made him fall in love with me. We just happened to be jogging, and I believe he came to love me for who I was. When we got married, I didn't think jogging had to be part of the deal. I didn't need or want jogging any longer." I felt a little puzzled at first by her unwillingness to negotiate even slightly to save their marriage. Later, however, she added some explanations that helped me make more sense of it. In their arguments over her refusal to jog, Hank had gotten so angry that Joanne had seen an ugly side of him she didn't like at all. She had no idea he could act that way. As Hank ranted and raved, his balance in Joanne's love bank suffered hefty withdrawals. While Joanne cast Hank as the heavy, he had his side of the story too. Joanne's stubborn refusal to do any more jogging or tennis playing caused her balance in his love bank to drop sharply as well. It seems incredible, but they refused all help. For want of some jogging together, their marriage ended in a march to the divorce court. Where do stories like this leave us? Every couple has the choice to let unmet needs hamper or even ruin their relationship, or they can decide to preserve their marriage. Divorce seldom, if ever, provides a good answer to any marital problem. Limping along in disappointment and bittersweet frustration doesn't do any better. A mature coming together to meet each other's needs is always the best solution. Let's take a look at how this can be done regarding the man's need for recreational companionship. The spheres of interest revisited. Do you remember the spheres of interest I described in the last chapter? There I showed you the importance of mutual interests and the role they play in communication. When Joyce and I drifted apart in ours, I showed you how we changed some interests and activities so that our spheres became closer and finally overlapped. Once this happened, we had mutual interests and better communication. The rules that work for conversation also work for recreation, and Joyce and I faced challenges in this area too. For example, when I was younger, I loved to play chess. I started at age 4 and eventually became president of my university club, where I was first board. After I married, I gave up chess tournaments because Joyce didn't play and had no interest in learning. Chess is an extremely time-consuming game, and much as I loved it, I decided we could better spend our recreational time doing something we both enjoyed. I thought we would both enjoy tennis, since we had spent countless hours playing during courtship days. During the first year of marriage, however, Joyce announced, "Bill, I really don't enjoy tennis that much anymore. I think I would prefer other ways of spending time together." Joyce's turnaround on tennis came as a complete surprise to me. We had dated for 6 years before we married, and I thought I knew her very well. We had enjoyed lots of tennis as well as other sports. I hadn't realized I enjoyed them much more than Joyce had. Because she wanted to be with me, she accommodated me by doing what I wanted to do. The trouble was, she almost always lost. No matter what we did competitively, tennis, bowling, checkers, or whatever, she rarely won. So early in our marriage, she did the right thing. She let me know this wasn't fun anymore. From that point on, our recreational activities became much more non-competitive. We switched to group sporting events like volleyball, where we could play in the same team, and expanded our interests in films, plays, concerts, dining out, sightseeing, and enjoying nature. Because we stayed together in pursuit of recreation, today we spend almost all our recreational time with each other. The outcome could have been quite different if I had stuck to tennis and chess and let Joyce go her way. We would have grown apart, each experiencing her most enjoyable moments of fun and relaxation without the other. When I counsel married couples, I can't emphasize too strongly what a mistake this can be. Instead of making steady deposits in each other's love banks by having fun together, the couple with separate recreational interests misses a golden opportunity. They often spend some of their most enjoyable moments in the company of someone else, with a distinct possibility of building a love bank account with that person. Since everyone has an account in your love bank, it stands to reason that the person with whom you share your most enjoyable moments will build the largest account. If you want a fulfilling marriage, that person must be your spouse. How to find mutual recreational interests. In counseling situations, when I explain the importance of mutual recreational interests, some couples have no problem discovering things to do together. Others, however, appear at a total loss. They are just too different, and besides, he simply won't give up his bowling team, and she absolutely must continue her bridge club on Tuesday afternoon.